This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
It's a presentation of Gerritsen Building Supply, deep disagreements, a riveting issue, and now COVID-19 in the mix. It's been an interesting week in the Oregon State Legislature. State Senator Floyd Prezanski, thanks for being on this morning.
Kyle, thank you very much. Let me first just start off with an apology to you and the listeners for missing the opportunity to be on air last Friday. I was in the process of getting ready for a webinar and just completely spaced it out. So I apologize to everyone.
Well, it's 2021. These things are happening periodically. And back and forth in Salem, talking about scheduling.
Boy.
It's been kind of crazy the last 24 hours. Give us the latest on where things stand with both the House and Senate.
Well, the House is in a disarray, as you can imagine, with everything that's going on from the announcement of the Speaker basically breaking her agreement with the minority party as to having an even number of members, Republican and Democrats, on the redistricting committee. That happened on, that would have been on Monday, if I'm not mistaken. And then I think the other issue that we had is the COVID. You know, it's here again. And apparently, from all indications, the exposure was on the House side. And that has thrown the House into another disarray as to how they can actually move forward and complete the work that we have that has to be done for redistricting if the legislature is going to be a participant by Monday of this coming week, the 27th. So it's pretty much at this point, the House is shut down for 2 days. This is to allow for each of the members to be able to be tested and have their results back. And they have tentatively scheduled a next House session day of Saturday of this week.
Now, that really puts things up against the wall in terms of whatever direction and whatever decision is made with that looming Monday deadline.
It really does. If you followed the proceedings on Monday morning, the Senate came in. We took care of business, I'm going to say, as quickly as we can, not quite as quick as some of us thought. But we did, in fact, pass out the two redistricting bills, one for the state redistricting of the legislature and the other one for the congressional districts for the U.S. Congress, along with the bill that actually gets us out of session called the Sonny-Dye Bill. When it got over to the House, that's where, let's say, a lot of issues were raised and a lot of concerns. So now we're at a point where we've basically on the House, on the Senate side, have concluded our work. We're still technically able to come back in and have a requirement to come back in after 3 days from Monday if the House is still in session. But there's some procedural stuff that can happen there. But the bottom line is, come Saturday, the House needs to be there. They need to be able to meet. If not, you have really one other day of Sunday, because whatever they do will have to, if there's a modification to the bills that were sent over. And the one that's really in play here is the congressional maps, not the legislative maps. The ones that would actually redistrict the state seems to be moving forward, was much more collaborative in that process. And so the question really is, are we, the legislature, going to do the obligations that we have under the Constitution and the state statutes of doing the redistricting, or is it going to default one for the congressionals would be to a new process, five judges, one from each of the existing congressional districts, to actually draw the maps for that process, meaning for Congress. I do believe that if the House can get back onto the floor, that you will, in fact, see the legislative redistricting map move forward, unless there's just an outright protest of no-shows from the Republicans
given,
in the House.
Given the House schedule, what is the Senate schedule to do, if anything, over the next few days?
Well, what I expect, we're going to have a caucus this afternoon to bring us up to speed, but I would assume the president will be on the floor tomorrow to extend us into our recess that would be required, and that would be on a daily basis, if I remember correctly. So that would mean that he would go out and just say we are going to resume on Friday, and then would say the same thing on Friday for Saturday. And then I would assume that we will hear today that they will want us either in Salem on Saturday at a specific time or be ready to drive to Salem on, you know, an hour's or 2 hour notice.
And originally, it sounded like leadership was hoping to have this special session for redistricting take Monday, maybe into Tuesday, and then go on to legislative days. Where do those stand?
Well, legislative days have been canceled. Because of our limitations of resources, electronics, and bandwidth, et cetera, it was known that if we were not able to complete the work of the special session by Wednesday today, that the legislative days would have to be postponed. So they have been canceled at this point. My understanding is that unless they change the schedule, we will not be scheduled to re-meet until November for what would have been our second set of legislative days for this interim.
Now, obviously, the redistricting map's drawing a lot of controversy. Democrats put theirs out. Republicans put theirs out. And I know anytime you try to carve up a state, 36, into 30 Senate districts, 60 House districts, and then the congressional districts, given the population shifts, I find it kind of a fascinating process just stepping back to figure out how on earth this is done. But a lot of the GOP was very much in opposition to the congressional part of the maps, especially because three of the congressional districts would end up being part of Portland, and a lot of question as to why that was set up that way.
Well, the issue for us as a state is when we have a population shift, of course, is it going down or going up? And it's been going up, of course, every time that we've done redistricting. The issue is where do you start to actually do your divisions to actually get the number one priority is equitable population. In the legislative seats, you have to be within 300 residents for each of the districts. On the congressional side, you actually have to be within five. So the maps were started and were drawn from south to north because looking at the demographic shifts, that is the area, meaning the southern part, that had to get more population. And as you got closer to the Tri-County area, Portland, Washington County, Clackamas County, you have the need to offset and get rid of population. So it's pretty common that you would start with getting your population where you need it first, and then you would basically whittle down the existing overpopulated districts based on that. And so that's what's happened here. Now, the reality of getting where you have three different congressional seats having part of the I'm going to call it the Tri-County, specific Multnomah County areas. That is just one of the things that whoever's behind, quote unquote, the scenes and with all the maps, all the charts, come up with those lines. But it's much easier to remove the population as compared to adding it. And that's why I think you saw the same process that we've used the last two recession redistricting processes, starting from the south and moving to the north to fill those voids.
Now, for the state legislative districts, how would this change the Democratic proposal impact the makeup of your district?
It would make a significant difference because of the need for so much population needing to be added to the southern districts. I would actually lose all of Douglas County that I currently represent, which is about, I'm saying, close to three-fifths of the county, maybe two-thirds roughly. As a senator, that's probably a rough estimate based on the population of the Douglas County. But yes, it would actually move my district further north, and basically under the proposal that's there now, would become much more urban, representing large portions of Eugene as well as Springfield, which I currently do not represent.
And currently, a lot of discussion in Douglas County as well about the fact that on the congressional district side, it would take this area out of the 4th congressional district, currently represented by Peter DeFazio, and move us into the 2nd district, which encompasses all of eastern Oregon. What about splitting the county up like that?
Well, again, it's one of those things for as numbers. I mean, you have to have the population. And this is the part that's so amazing to me, how strict it is on the federal congressional redistricting. Again, you have to be within five residents of having equity under the rule or the interpretation for the feds. So, again, it was one of those scenarios that because of the southern part of the state losing so much population, you had to move north. And that's the way they came forward as to doing that. I'm not on the committee, and so I'm not privy to all of the detailed analysis that they did. But it is one of those situations and scenarios that you do see counties getting split up in congressional districts because of just the sheer volume and the need to be within five residents count. And right now, the five, the six congressional districts are within one. I think actually take that back. I'm going to say within two residents of being equitable. Three of them are exact the same numbers, and I can't remember if the other three are just one off or if one of those is two off compared to the others.
If the legislature is unable to come up with a final vote and get this done, then the you mentioned the process for the congressional districts, and then Secretary of State Shamia Fagan taking care of the legislative district. If it goes that route with those two scenarios, what happens to the timeline of getting the decisions ultimately figured out?
Well, the Oregon Supreme Court basically set a new set of timelines for all of this process. Remember, because the census data was released so late by the federal government, that we actually missed our deadlines that are scheduled within the statutes. And so we went to, meaning the legislature went to and asked the Oregon Supreme Court for another timetable, which they gave. I don't have the numbers as to when they the other two default. But you're right, the congressional ones will go to this five-panel judge panel that's established by the Chief Justice of the Oregon Supreme Court. Those can be active or retired judges, meaning they're within the Plan B retirement process. They're still semi-active. Then for the Shamia Fagan as the Secretary of State, that has always been the default that we've had for the legislative seats. And like I said, this will be new for the congressional because that was a law that was passed in 2013, so we've not been faced with this before. But they have a very strict deadline as well, and if they are not able to meet the deadlines, they'll make the deadlines at least on the, I mean, they'll make the deadlines, I should say that. I don't know what the outcomes will be because it will be a very rushed process. And the reality is both of those, even though I know Shamia Fagan has been doing some groundwork in this area, they're basically picking up pieces and trying to put them together where the legislature at least had a committee set up and they did a lot of the preliminary work that they could do and then have been working very diligently to try to meet our deadlines. So it's going to be a real rush, and I don't know exactly what the final outcome will be. And you could see some of the opposition in the sense of challenges through the courts.
Wow, a lot to contemplate. What's the sort of the mood in Salem among lawmakers that you've talked to?
Well, it's one of these frustration. As I said, you know, I've kind of expressed at the very beginning, I'm very surprised that the speaker did what she did. I think I understand why she thought she may have needed to do what she did, but I don't agree with the process that she used. I thought expanding the existing committee, keeping it equal, like she did for the state legislative ones, was fine. Why she created a separate committee for the congressional at that point in time, I don't know. I mean, there was still what I call plenty of time for those type of maneuvers if that's what she felt she needed to do. I think she really has caused a tailspin on this process and has jeopardized both of those maps to some level.
I imagine as well that members of the legislature from either party are not going to be happy if this process is taken out of their hands.
Well, yes, very much, and that's my frustration. I have had the opportunity to go through. This will be the third redistricting that since I've been able to serve in the legislature, and I've honored the opportunity to be part of that committee the last cycle and took it very, very seriously, and I know all of the members on both sides of the aisle have been doing. I'd be extremely frustrated with the process that has gone, but at the same time, I hope there's enough maturity for all of those members to understand we still have a task. We are under law, are required to do this, and we should continue to move forward to do that and basically do our duty and let the pieces fall where they are. Now, you know, you got an individual who's declared that she's running for governor. I don't see how this plays out in a positive for her, basically going back on our word.
All right. Some perspective there and thoughts from State Senator Floyd Przanski. Floyd, thanks for being on this morning.
Kyle, thank you very much. Y'all have a great day.
8:46 Morning Conversation, a presentation of Gerritsen Building Supply.